Joseph.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm about to pull my hair out.
Well, I got to tell you, man, you rolled right into this digital room right here. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot?
Yeah, I did. I did. The problem with this time of year is that, you know, being a retailer, it's not really the holiday season. It's more like, I don't know. It's just running the gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just got a lot going on. So it's a fun time. It's exciting, but it's also, where everyone else is kind of taking, 3 and 4 day weekends and eating a whole bunch and, sitting back, watching football and all that kind of stuff. We're typically not doing that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's
man.
Right.
It's wide open. We ran a Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of sale for a few days here. And yeah, man, it's just been full throttle. It has been. So we are so grateful, so excited, but we are very tired. Anyway, sending pipes all over the world, which has been a lot of fun, and blending up a whole lot of tobacco, including a lot of our Christmas blends, which are still available, by the way. But so anyway, just rocking and rolling, man, trying to make it work.
Yeah, man, the holiday season, no rest for the retail. That is absolutely true.
It's brutal, man. I don't think people really understand that. You know, if you ever get into the retail business, you kind of just have to know going into it that this time of year you're just torched. I mean, you really are. It's just it's a wild time of year. So and this year particularly, I think, I don't know if there's a lot of pent up demand or like if it's for whatever reason, it's just been really active. So we're we're very thankful, man. We're paying some bills, making sure the employees are fed and diapers are bought and the rent's paid and all that kind of stuff, and we're very thankful, but we're burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, no doubt, man. I got a chance to see you in action for like 2 seconds.
That was wild, man. I looked up from the midst of my just stupor of having my nose down to the grindstone, and there's Bo, and he's in my shop. And it's so funny. I was like, hey, what are you doing here? It was really great. One of those things where I had totally forgotten you were coming in town. And
it's like the brain can't quite compute. Like, you're not supposed to be here.
I know, right? It just doesn't make sense. But it was really great to see you, man. Thanks for coming by the shop. In the middle of the fog, I just couldn't quite, compute what was happening. But it was great, man. Came by and got to hug your neck and spend literally about 45 seconds with you. And that was
if even that. Look, we'll talk about it a little bit more because it sets up beautifully what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah,
this week.
No, that's but, right. That's right.
Man, before we dive into it, there's a couple things we need to talk about. First of all, that's our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. This is the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club who is making this show happen every single week. Man, we've got two brand new club members at the Squire level joining us, Junior Hadley.
Junior now, Hadley. Yeah.
Now I can't, I could say like is the father Senior Hadley, is it the third Hadley, is the child of Junior? I there's so many questions I have about the name, but perhaps it's best to move on.
He's just Junior. Yeah. No, that's great, Junior. Thank you for hopping in. Who else we got, Bo?
Man, we got Derek Jargon.
Jarnigan.
so Jarnigan. So Jarnigan. This is the second Jarn. This
he jarned, Derek, he jarned again. He's rejarning.
He's rejarning. Yeah. So Derek the second, Derek Jarn the second, or Jarnigan, both of them joining at the Squire level. Guys, thanks so much for your support. If you'd like to learn how you can support the show, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. Also, we are really, really excited to continue our kind of deal that we've got going on with our friends at Sylvan Forge. Of course, the Country Squire Radio ring. If you've not gotten your Country Squire ring, you need to do that immediately. Like, stop what you're doing right now. I want to tell you that it'll still be there by the time you listen to this. And that will be true depending on when you listen to this. So
right. No, that's right. Yeah. Hopefully you're listening the day this episode comes out, and hopefully you go buy a ring.
Yeah. Get your rings in. If your significant other is thinking about getting you a ring, you need to make it happen right now. So head over to CountrySquireRadio.com. You will see the link there, and it'll be up for as long as you are able to do it. This is kind of a hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get those orders in right now if you want to get your Country Squire radio ring. Really, really unique piece of art. And we,
Mimo Breyer, right? Yeah.
Mimo Breyer, man. Of course, our friends at Sylvan Forge Creations have got some amazing rings out there. And we are really, really proud to have this Country Squire radio ring with them. So be sure to check it out. CountrySquireRadio.com is the place to go to find that link and get that in. While you're there, by the way, nominations are open for the best of 2021. We are looking for all of you to send in your thoughts on who you think was the best pipe carver this year. What company put out the best pipe tobacco? And, you know, we didn't mention it, John David, last week, and we probably should have. For anybody that's new to the game, here at Country Squire Radio, we are big fans of big up in the industry as a whole and showcasing a lot of great folks throughout the industry.
Yeah.
And it might, if you've never been part of our Best Of series in the past, you might not realize that there is one particular store, shop, a tobacconist who is off limits. You can't actually nominate this person. You can't actually put them in. No, it's not him. Come on, guys. No, that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about John David. You can't nominate John David. You can't nominate the Country Squire.
That's right. That's right. Off limits, man. Yeah. That's just not that you would anyway. I mean, it's, you know, kind of like, I don't know, throwing your, you know, ugliest, least talented sibling a bone by, you know. But no, that's great, man. Yeah, so many great people to, man, just give props to this time of year. Looking back on 2021 and the incredible year it's been, and man, all the powering through the pandemic, but yeah, all the, you know, incredible stuff the pipe community has mustered to, you know, just get us through this season. And man, new blends, new tinned tobaccos, new pipes, yeah. You know, all kinds of interesting things out there. And so be sure to go there, CountrySquireRadio.com, and you can make some nominations. And man, we'll be selecting those right at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's always a blast, and we're looking forward to it. And it is coming up very, very quick. Yep. Man, before we dive into our topic today, any other housekeeping items?
Yes, one more. So exciting, the day this episode is coming out, which will be December 1st, it's a Wednesday, we will have a whole boatload of the Sutliff's annual Christmas tobacco, Kringle Flake.
Hey!
And, Kringle Flake, this has become a tobacco that has really come on strong probably the last, I guess this is the third or fourth year they've done it now. And it's awesome. I mean, it is, I think, probably the most anticipated limited edition tobacco on the market. Maybe it's probably neck and neck with like a Carolina Red Flake and, you know, the one Jeremy does with the honey and the tequila and all that stuff. Gosh, my mind is blanking because I'm an idiot. But, you know, so I think those three are probably right there. Sunbear.
Ah, yes.
Those three are right there as far as like probably the most sought after, anticipated, you know, small batch releases of every single year now. Man, Kringle Flake, it's just something to really be excited about. So this year, what they've done is they've taken a matured Virginia, paired it with some ancient Perique. Some of this Perique is almost as old as some of the listeners that are probably listening to this show. But man, just a really cool blend. I'm excited about trying it. We just got our tins in and have been forbidden to release them until December 1st. So we're abiding by that. But man, the good friends of Sutliff are doing that. So anyway, check it out. If you're going to want to jump on those tins, they again will probably go pretty fast, although we're not sure. But you can go to thecountrysquireonline.com and grab them from us or from, you know, any other of your favorite online retailers.
Now, I know in the past with other Christmas blends, you have kind of, you know, gone through the aging process and kind of rotated them out from that standpoint. Is that your preference with Kringle Flake?
Yeah, actually it is. This is one of those tobaccos that you would do well to get two tins and smoke one now and put one back for, you know, maybe a year. Anytime you're dealing with these matured or red Virginia, any Virginias really, you know, the more the more time they have on them, they just, there's something magic that happens in that tin. There really is, you know. And of course, this is a vacuum, you know, Sutliff uses a vacuum sealed style tin, which is, you know, devoid of almost all oxygen. And so the fermentation process there is going to be a little slower, a little different than if it had a little bit of air exposed. If you really wanted to see some magic and really maybe wanted to even accelerate it some, you know, crack a tin open, put it in a mason jar without that much extra room in it, and then let it sit back real tight in a dark room temperature place for, you know, a year or two. And man, you'll be glad you did. Yeah. But this is one of those tins. It really is.
That's a good process, man. All right. Well, that's exciting. You said that's going to be on Wednesday. So
Wednesday, December 1st.
Yep. All right. So so be sure to watch for the Country Squire online. Wait. Oh, my goodness. What is the website?
No, it's thecountrysquireonline.com.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right.
Yeah, you're good.
That's right. That's exactly right. So be sure this Wednesday to check out thecountrysquireonline.com so you can get your orders in. Man, so much housekeeping items. But you know what? This is the season of the housekeeping because, as you mentioned, man, the holiday season is one to be filled with, you know, you gotta keep things all swept up. You gotta make things look nice. The shop's gotta look nice for your customers. The house has gotta look nice because the family's coming in. You got, you know, kids over here. You got the missus you're trying to keep happy. You got everything going crazy, man. There's housekeeping. The holiday season.
You said all these things, and I've just been like, yep, failed at that one. Failed at that one. Failed at that one.
Well, you know, the great thing is in the midst of all the hustle and the bustle and yes, the failures and the successes that can come along the way, man, there are these great moments, these moments we pause and we reflect with friends and with family. You know, for those of us in the faith community, a lot of the holiday season is really a celebration of our faith, but it's also a time of fellowship where we kind of get together with our friends and our family and just really connect. And it's those quiet, soft moments in the midst of the chaos that really, really make the holiday season special.
Boy, you're not kidding, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Man. So we already talked about it, but I was in town for Thanksgiving and I had a whole mindset going into this Jackson visit, man. I wanted to be incognito. Okay. I didn't want any, I did not.
You idiot.
I'm serious, man. I didn't want to be recognized at all. I cut my hair. I didn't wear my hat. I masked up everywhere that I possibly could so that nobody, for, you know, health and no, I'm triple vaxxed, man. I was covering up my face because I didn't want anybody to know it was me. And so
you sound like me when I go to a pipe show.
That's about right, man.
Who's the furry little hobbit over there with the hoodie on? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say two words.
That's that idiot that has that podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so that's the thing, man. The one person, well, it was technically two, but the one person that I really made an exception for, I was like, I want to make sure I lay eyes on John David for two reasons. One is that I miss you, man. And I want to see you and I like seeing you and it's nice being at the Country Squire and seeing you in your element. And you're not kidding. The place was just jumping. You had so many people there. You know, you were busy. You know, you had food laid out. I mean, like, it was like nothing had changed, honestly. It's like there's random food all over the place. What's the occasion? Somebody just brought it.
That's literally what happened. I don't know if you caught the open bottle of Boodles that was sitting on the counter. Like, you know, it just, I mean, folks were just smoking and, you know, just making merry. And I mean, all we needed was a Yule log, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, it was just wonderful, man. It was wonderful to be there and be in that presence. That was one of the reasons I wanted to do it. There was another reason I wanted to make a little stop by the shop because you had been talking and telling me about these amazing anniversary cigars that are a little kind of late in their debut because, of course, the pandemic threw off everything, of course. But as you were kind of talking about it and getting really excited about it and telling me about it, I was like, oh, well, these are going to be available when I'm in town. And you're like, well, I mean, they'll be in town while you're in town. They won't necessarily be for sale. So I popped over to the liquor store right next door. I picked up a bottle of Boodles and I thought, let me just drop this bottle of Boodles on John David for about 5 seconds and see if I can't grease the wheel a little bit. And man, hooked me up. Big time.
You know, it actually worked out really good. We are today going to talk about the Country Squire 50th anniversary cigar, which Bo is referencing here. But it was really neat. Bo comes, you know, kind of weaseling his way in, catches me kind of off guard in a moment of weakness and all this stuff. And you know, it worked out great. But we did want to talk about it on air, and it was the perfect opportunity for me to get one of these in Bo's hands so he could smoke it, so he could try it.
Man.
And enjoy it with some friends and all that kind of stuff. And then we could kind of give a little overview to you, the faithful Country Squire radio listener. So,
man, and I want to share kind of my smoking experience with the cigar. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, you know, if you've done this before, you've had kind of specialty Country Squire items that have been on sale, commemorative pipes and blends and that sort of thing. When you're thinking about a cigar and you're thinking about who are you going to partner with? How is this, you know, what do you like? I'm very curious, because as a tobacconist and as somebody who is kind of a, you know, a pipe tobacco centric person, hey, I've seen you with several Stogies on several occasions. So it's not like you're not a cigar person, but I'm curious, like, where do you draw your inspiration? Like, what was kind of your mindset in going into getting these 50th anniversary cigars?
Yeah, we wanted someone to do this cigar that was going to be the best. And when I say that, it's not like, this is the best cigar in the world or anything like that. We're certainly not claiming that. But we wanted to come out with a relatively reasonably priced cigar that was going to be a heavyweight in its class and use some of, you know, what would be known as considered some of the best tobacco in the world. And you know, as a pipe smoker and as someone that kind of has my finger on the pulse of that side of the industry a little more, you know, this is a stretch for me, right? Because, you know, we sell cigars, we love cigars, we promote cigars, smoke a lot of cigars. You know, it's not my first love. And so I had to lean on some other people to kind of help me with the process and all that. I know what I like, I know what I enjoy, I know what my customers like and enjoy, but you know, this was very much a kind of a team effort of everybody at the Squire and some select customers that I knew I could help me with this. We were disappointed, number one, that it didn't come out last year. I mean, last year was our 50th anniversary, and you know, we wanted to do that, but as you know, COVID kind of upended the whole apple cart. But you know, this was one of the few things that we weren't able to do on time. Or at all, just, you know, because of all the events in the world. But after 2 years of painstaking preparation and, you know, blending, experimenting back and forth, testing different prototypes and all this kind of stuff, we finally landed on this particular recipe. And we're going to use today as an opportunity to kind of, you know, kind of tell you about it.
Okay, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to ask a lot of dumb questions.
No, it's great. There are no stupid questions.
Well, and, you know, it's beneficial because, you know, one of the things that we've kind of, you know, made mention of on the show sparingly and, you know, over on the YouTube channel, I've teed up the fact that, you know, we're looking at this coming year as a really exciting time for Country Squire Radio, where we've got a lot of brand new series that we'll be rolling out that people will.
It'll be a watershed year for the show.
It's going to be great, man. And we're really excited to share these new series with folks and that kind of thing. You know, you come to Country Squire Radio, you know, you think pipe tobacco. We're about to be talking about cigars, and it's exciting because I think there's a lot of connection here, but also there's a lot of ignorance here from my standpoint. You understand? So it offers me
more than normal. Yeah. What?
Even more than normal. So it offers me the opportunity to really ask some dumb questions.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that many folks who may, you know, exclusively smoke a pipe are not, you know, they know, oh, cigar. I know that's what it looks like. I know generally what it smells like. I all cigars taste the same to me. You know, that kind of mindset.
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, you know, you mentioned kind of coming up with the right blend. Okay. Now I hear that and I'm thinking, well, I know pipe tobacco blend. You're literally blending the leaves of tobacco, but you know, a cigar is a stick. You don't blend a stick. So you're gonna have to break that down for me, man. Like, what is the process there?
Man, let's virtually blend the cigar. Yeah, man. You know, there are so many similarities in the cigar and pipe world. You know, the tobacco itself, if you just think about that in particular, you know, the tobacco from a pipe tends to be more delicate, more nuanced. It, you know, has a a wispier characteristic to it that makes it maybe a little more approachable, kind of a different animal. Cigar tobacco is going to be more powerful, more blunt force. It's got, you know, a stronger nicotine component to it. It makes the room smell differently. It's just a different animal. You've got bigger, stronger brush strokes in a cigar than you do a pipe. You know, and then, of course, that's aside from the whole fact that, you know, with the pipe, you smoke it differently. It's a different experience as far as sitting there tinkering with your pipe and all that. And the cigar, it's kind of nice because you light it and it's just done. You just kind of get to sit back and enjoy it. You know, cigars are made of multiple tobacco leaves. I was explaining this to a new cigar smoker in the shop just the other day. And if you're a pipe smoker, you may just not really understand this or be aware. But you look at a cigar, and on the outside of the cigar, you see a leaf that is surrounding the entire outside of the cigar. And it's a lot of times they're beautiful. You can see the veins of the leaf and, you know, any kind of little, you know, maybe natural imperfections from the plant. It's just a really elegant way to, you know, to showcase what you're smoking and be very aware that you're smoking a plant, you know, something that was grown and hand rolled. But what you may not be aware of is the inside of this cigar, on the inside of that wrapper, that leaf on the outside we call the wrapper, on the inside of this cigar is totally different tobacco. This cigar is not made of one leaf. It's not made of one type of leaf that's just all the way through. Cigars are blended just like pipe tobacco. You know, you have to think of all the same things that you think of with pipe tobacco. You have to think of taste and flavor and strength on your palate. You have to think of how the cigar is going to burn, if it's going to combust appropriately. You have to think of even the room note. I mean, all these things go together just like you would blend a pipe tobacco. And so now the end result is different, obviously. You have, you know, cigars typically aren't the, you know, as aromatic, at least in the same way as we think of pipe tobacco. But they, you know, that's all the same things apply when you're doing that. So a lot of times with the cigar, because, you know, these are premium cigars, are whole leaves. When you look at a cigar, you might be tempted to think that it's got a bunch of leaves that are all kind of chopped up and then filled up in there. But actually, this is a whole leaves that are filling the inside of the cigar. So
they're just like wrapped up tightly.
They're just bunched up and wrapped and rolled tightly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it's so fun to watch if you ever get the chance to watch someone make a cigar and, you know, like next time we go to New Orleans,
yes,
which,
sir,
I'm sure we will, you know, in the near future, like, man, just try to pay, after we have this conversation, try to pay a little closer attention to what those folks are doing behind the counter at the cigar factory, because it's just incredible. It really is. They are taking entire leaves of tobacco and rolling it expertly into this bundle and, you know, different sizes and shapes that are all have to be uniform. Somehow they know how to do it just to make it draw just right, you know, where just the right amount of air can flow through the cigar, you know, where it doesn't get plugged up with stems and pits and tears and all that kind of stuff. And so just really interesting. But yeah, when you think about cigars, they're blended just like pipe tobacco.
Man, okay, that's fascinating. I guess that's the component portion I find interesting. Is it that the wrapped leaf? So how do I ask this question? Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, again, I feel embarrassed asking some of these questions.
They're just stupid people. Just stupid people.
All right, like I think about, like, if I was to, like, layer on pancakes, right? Like, if I like giant pancakes, right? So you had like a blueberry pancake and then a chocolate chip pancake and then a walnut pancake, and then I rolled those together, right, to make a pancake cigar. Did I just blend it? You know what I mean? Like, or is it really more like several of these leaves are kind of blended, pressed, and then what is pressed together ends up getting rolled?
When we say blend, it's not, you're think, you know, it's tempting to think of, like, when we're blending pipe tobacco, it's tempting to think of the verb, like, you know, mechanically mixing leaves together. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the blend with the cigar is finding the right combinations of leaves that work to produce a desired outcome smoke.
Interesting.
That's the blend.
So are the leaves themselves, though, like, do they go through separate processes, or, like, would, you know, cure it in different ways?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Some of them are air-cured. Occasionally, you'll see a fire-cured leaf. You know, there's leaves that have been sun-grown and you know, more exposed to light and maybe heat. And so that makes them stronger and more robust. You know, some of the leaves are even when they harvest the tobacco differently. You've got tobacco plants that are stalk cut that, you know, the entire plant is cut at the bottom and hung up. You've got others that are the leaves individually are cut as they become ripe. And so, you know, it's just it just depends on all those things. Yeah, there's a lot to it.
All right. I know we got way into the weeds here, but like
I know, we kind of did.
But this is, I feel like this is important. We're going to have an episode early next year that's going to be kind of revisiting some of this topic. And I feel like I'm going to re-listen to this episode in preparation because I want my questions to be very educated.
That's actually a good idea, you know, but like Bo kind of mentioned earlier, we've been talking recently about, you know, just the future of the show and bringing back that sense of really what we started with Country Squire Radio, kind of bringing the spirit and the elements of a pipe shop to, you know, the conversations you would hear in a pipe shop to the world. You know, we're trying to do that with Country Squire Radio, and that's kind of our thesis statement from the beginning. And so I think we're probably going to have more conversations like this down the road, just interesting things that might be tangential to pipe smoking that, you know, we think are worth talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll revisit cigars in the near future.
All right. So getting back to the 50th anniversary, though. Finding that degree of excellence that you really wanted to be communicated in the pipe, finding the right experts in the field. And then also, I love that you said you also kind of communicated with the local community of the shop as well, folks that are that are part of the Country Squire community. Ultimately, what was kind of the final? How did you end up with this particular cigar?
What I wanted from the beginning, and this was really from the beginning of the whole process, and it's a process that we mimicked too with our 50th anniversary pipe tobacco that we did with Sutliff that I'm so proud of and that we still sell. But we wanted to make a cigar smoker's cigar. We didn't want to make a mass market thing that was super approachable. We wanted to do something that, you know, frankly, a real cigar smoker was going to hold this cigar up and be like, man, that's a good cigar. You know, this is something that, you know, a more sophisticated palate would really, really enjoy. And so, man, we tried hard and worked with Terrence Riley and the folks at Aganorsa Cigar, sitting down with them and just making sure that we had the blend right, went back and forth on different prototypes, and I think did a good job. Yeah. And you know, going back to that, you know, who to select to make this cigar, right? Aganorsa, we think they simply have the best leaf in the industry. They're formerly known as Casa Fernandez, but are kind of getting away from that name and have pivoted more into the Aganorsa leaf kind of nomenclature as far as their marketing and stuff has gone. They've been blending cigars for other companies for years and years.
Huh.
And they finally, over the past decade or so, have kind of been starting to put their own name on some of their best blends and their own cigars. It's kind of like a company that specializes in making products for other people, but then they're like, man, we're really good at this. We ought to put our own name on it.
Right.
And eventually that's what they've done. And they've come out with hit after hit after hit. We love working with them. They have a real healthy footprint in our humidor, which we're very proud of. But, you know, they major in just fantastic medium to full strength cigars. Even their Connecticut Shade wrappers tend to feature a lot of pepper and a lot of spice, which are just real pleasing to the person that likes a more full bodied cigar. And so anyway, we, you know, in brainstorming this concept, you know, they were one of the first names that came up to emerge. And as we thought about the quality that we really wanted in this cigar, we felt like we had to go with them because they were just the ones that were eager to work with us, but also just had all the product that we wanted to be in our Golden Jubilee cigar, you know. So when you're looking at the cigar, this cigar has a what we call an Oscuro wrapper. The Oscuro wrapper, it's a type of Maduro, essentially. It's almost like a double fermented Maduro. Oscuro wrappers are dark. They're oily. They've been, you know, fermented for this extra period of time to kind of give them this oily, meaty texture, which is just very full and delicious and smooth. It's wrapped in that. It's enveloped in this Oscuro wrapper. But then it's got a Corojo and Criollo filler and binder.
I'm sorry. A Criollo?
A yo-yo and a hobo.
Who now and what there?
I know, right? Corojo and Criollo wrapper and binder, which, you know, different strains, different varieties of the tobacco plant.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's right. And so, you know, all these different, it's just like the pipe world. You know, you've got, you know, Virginias, and you've got different varieties of Burley and Condimental Leaves, Perique and Latakia and Orientals. And it's the same way with the cigar. You've got these different strains of tobacco, different varieties that have their own characteristics. Some are brighter and more aromatic. Some are richer and darker. Some burn fast and slow. I mean, it's just, it's all the same kind of game. It's just a different package, you know. So,
gotcha. Okay. Huh.
So that's it. But yeah, so these leaves come from the Jalapa and Esteli portions of Nicaragua. This is a really highly sought after place. The geography of Nicaragua is very, because of the mountains, you've got these kind of microclimates that appear throughout the country, you know. So this part is, you know, very windy, and it's got a lot of exposure to rain and less sun. But just on the other side of the mountain, you've got more sun and less rain, and it's just got this, you know, these really interesting little pockets that create the beautiful country of Nicaragua. And so Jalapa, part of Nicaragua, includes some of the most remote farms in the entire country. But the leaf here tends to be kind of reddish, the soft soil. It has this natural sweetness and more of an aromatic property to it. And then in Esteli, this is going to be, you know, if you're a cigar smoker and you are kind of into the cigar culture and nerdism and all that, you've probably heard of both these areas. But Esteli in particular, you've probably heard of. It's a very popular part of Nicaragua to grow premium tobacco. And really the DNA of Nicaraguan tobacco comes from this area. When we think of Nicaraguan tobacco, we think of full-bodied, spice, flavorful, bold. These are tobaccos that come from strong, dense black soil, which allows the tobacco to grow an extra long time, which gets that real strong Lajero, the Lajero leaf that has a lot of nicotine, lots of power. Think blunt force, powerful cigar. You've got, you know, a lot of sun exposure in this area, which allows the leaves to get real thick and very flavorful. And this is really kind of the DNA, really the essence of the Nicaraguan cigar. And so, so we think our 50th anniversary cigar kind of majors in that, which we're proud of. So,
yeah.
I want to go into some tasting notes, but before I do that, I kind of want to hear what you thought about it.
Okay. So like I said, I want to kind of share the smoking experience a little bit, right? So, I came into the shop, you saw me, I was there with my brother and with my brother-in-law. And I'm in, you know, in a bottle of Boodles. And so,
right.
you hugged me, you went back, and I'm like, man, I'm going to pay you. You're like, no, they're not even in the system yet, which I'm still going to pay you for those cigars, by the way. He's like, yeah, you're good. And then, like, you bring him out, and I see the three cigars. Oh, man, this is great. Can I have two more?
I need more.
Well, because I wanted one for my other brother and my dad. Like, it was, it was a
miss. You don't want to leave anyone out.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's good. It worked out great.
I felt so bad about that, though, man. Like, that, I can't tell you how much that was weighing on me. Like, man. Oh, these are these premium cigars.
No sweat,
and
man.
Everything
we got to make sure the whole York crew is well prepared, well taken care of.
Well, we certainly were. And so the thing is, man, we were going to smoke them one night. I think that night, or maybe it was the following night, but everybody was just so beat. And I say that half of us were so beat and the other half were not. And the other half that were not, I was in that crowd, started lighting up the cigars and everything's great. And then the other half was like, we got to do this tomorrow night. And it was too cold outside and it was just too much and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, oh snap. And so like the rest of us that had been smoking were like, okay, how do we surgically like protect this cigar, you know what I mean?
You did not put your cigar out and then relight it the next night. It sounds like you did.
I was not the only one, I hate to say, that did that. It gets worse, man. So I was so unprepared because all of my gear is at the house. I didn't bring a cigar cutter with me. And so we're at my parents' house. They don't have a cigar cutter. And so, okay, you know, we talked about pipe tools.
Right. I'm interested to see how you MacGyvered this. Yeah.
So I mean, that's the thing. I give people a hard time about the rusty nail pipe tool situation, right?
Right. Right.
You know the scissors that are like really long, that kind of have the weird curve on them. Like they're like sewing scissors. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
Anyway,
did you use a sickle to cut your 50th anniversary?
Well, before that, I tried a steak knife. This is a premium cigar, not even on the market yet. I'm one of like very few people on the planet.
Yeah, you're one of like, you know, eight people that's actually smoked it.
Yeah. And I'm like,
you're hacking away at it with a butcher knife.
It was heresy. It was like tobacco heresy, man. I felt so bad.
You know
what,
Bo? If anyone could get away with it, it'd be you.
Well, anyway, I saw a nice little chunk on it. Got it open. My brother actually got real. My youngest brother actually got real good, and he got a punch cut out of it with the knife that he was cutting with, and he got a really nice little punch cut out of it, and I kind of felt embarrassed that his was, you know, so much nicer. I was like, all right, you do the rest, you get everybody else set up. But anyway, it wasn't too far gone. We were able to to salvage those, and then on top of that, I may have switched out with somebody else's unsmoked cigar when we actually got a chance to enjoy them.
Good.
But man, great conversations. Just really, actually, you know, I'll share this. I actually, like, while we're recording right now, I actually just got a text from my brother, really wanting to kind of follow up on the conversation we were having on the porch, enjoying those cigars. And it's just, you know,
the kind of stuff that happens in a pipe shop, man, is that connectivity. It really is.
Yeah. It's kind of gathering around the little mini fire in your palm if it's a pipe. And in this situation, it was cigar, but man, we had a great time, and I'm sitting there the entire time too, because I'm having this really great moment with my family, but I'm also trying to have my, you know, Country Squire Radio hat on, thinking like, okay, what are the flavors that I'm picking up? You know, what are the textures and
tasting notes? Yeah.
Here's the thing, and maybe again, this all plays into my ignorance, right? Like, I feel as though if it was a pipe tobacco, I would have more of a lexicon to be able to communicate what it was I was tasting.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the main thing I thought was like, this is not light. This is like heavy, but not too much. Like I could handle it, but I could tell I was taking some weight, if that makes sense.
Which is
not a flavor profile at all, but just kind of like a, you know, from someone who's not a constant cigar smoker, who's kind of more of an occasional cigar smoker.
Yeah.
You know, I've been more of a fan of lighter cigars. I really liked this one, though. I mean, like, this was probably, you know, probably one of my favorite. It's definitely one of my favorites. It might be my favorite cigar that I've ever smoked. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I really am. But, you know, I think your points there are valid. I mean, those tasting notes, those, you know, sensory experiences you have while you're trying the cigar, that the weightiness of it. That's part of the experience, you know, something where while you're smoking the cigar, you're thinking like, yeah, I'm glad I ate tonight.
Yeah, actually, someone even said based on how I cut it, since it was just like I was taking the full force of it and everything, like, that's going to punch you in the face. I was like, I'm fine. I'm like,
yeah, I'm fine.
Glad I ate a big meal.
Oh, that's great, man. No, it's good. There is, you know, there is some cross pollination between the way we talk about pipe tobacco and the way we talk about cigars, but you find a lot of a lot of different, you know, adjectives that come up, or at least adjectives that are used more in the cigar that aren't used as much in when we discuss you know, pipe tobacco tasting. But with the Country Squire 50th anniversary cigar, that Oscuro wrapper with the amount of Criollo and Corojo leaf in the middle, it gives off this initial, it changes through the cigar. When you first light it, it does tend to punch you in the face. And frankly, that's not just if you do a big open cut or a punch cut or a V cut, which is my personal favorite. You know, that's kind of all over the board, just the way the cigar was blended. It kind of comes out pretty strong out of the gate. So we've got kind of a charred flavor, coffee grounds, heavy cedar. These are, you know, very kind of blunt force flavors and experiences that you get just from initially smoking the cigar. So it's real rich and it lets you know that, hey, I'm here. We're going to do business, you know.
Right.
But it settles down. It settles down and really rewards you with what you think of as trademark for that Oscuro wrapper, which is an oily smoke, something that's real thick and velvety. It has a real nice cocoa powder element to it that kind of comes out like a baking chocolate. Mm. and a dark chocolate that that eventually makes itself known. So there's just a little bitterness there that's very pleasant. And then as you keep going through the cigar, just a hint of mulled fruit, some plum, black cherry notes kind of start to peek through a little bit. Certainly not a first and foremost flavor that you get from this cigar, but a nice supporting character there. So it's a well-made cigar. It's something that, like we, you know, went out for. We think it's a cigar smoker's cigar. You know, this is one that that you'll want to enjoy yourself, not smoke in a hurry, not inhale any amount of at all whatsoever. It's a good stick. So we thoroughly hope you enjoy it.
And, you know, it goes without saying, well, it should probably go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Not only is it a fantastic cigar, but it's. You don't think about this with cigars, but it's a good looking cigar. Like the wrapper that you've got, that silver band.
Yeah.
How do I say this? I didn't know you could look that classy.
You didn't know we had it in us?
You know, the Country Squire is such like a, you know, like, you know, like we're like, you know, it's in Jackson, yeah. Mississippi. And I say this as someone from Jackson, Mississippi. I know us, right? And and I know class. And that was more class than us. It was. You
know. Hey, that's actually a good way to put it. Yeah, we, you know, we talk about our shop. Obviously, we're proud of it, and it's historic and all this stuff. But we're kind of like the country cousin out there that, you know, is in the corner that no one really knows what to do with. You know, when, you know, shops like, you know, the Briar Shop in Houston, or, you know, you name it, you know, Strauss Tobacconist that we mentioned a few weeks ago, or one of these other shops, you know, these are like the more sophisticated uncle, right?
Right.
And we're kind of the uncle that like people scratch their head and are like, what do you do with that one? but man, we're proud of this particular man labeling. And we had a graphic designer who's been one of our customers for years and years. He worked on this really hard. We went through a lot of iterations of artwork for this. Man, just really happy with how it came out, and also how the leaf actually looks itself. You know, that's part of the experience, as we know, of what we're not, you know, vision senses are not just left at the door when we experience tobacco products.
That's,
you know,
right.
When we,
that's right.
Open a tin of pipe tobacco, we're looking at how the leaves are blended, and even really good blenders are going to think about the color and the visual presentation of a pipe tobacco when it's blended and how it's going to look when you age it and open the can and all that kind of stuff. And so we're really happy with how this came out. And I think with that shield kind of silver lining on the logo with the tobacco leaves, it did well. So, man, and just to let you know, too, there are only 3,000 of these made.
I was about to ask. Yes.
There's only 3,000 of these made.
Well, 2,995. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Minus the handful that that I've smoked as well. But man, yeah, that, you know, they're it's a limited edition cigar. It's one of those that if people like, we may, you know, bring these back out in the future for a second run. But anyway, just really proud of it. They'll be available coming this Friday, which, you know, will be, I guess it's December 3rd.
That's correct.
And you can buy them in singles for $9.98 a piece, or you can buy them in a bundle of 20. So,
all right.
Anyway, yeah, really, really fired up about that.
All right, man. And also, can we make mention of maybe a little bit of a special deal for the people that support this podcast?
Man, for people that support this podcast, we will, man. We're going to on our Patreon, for all our Patreon supporters that are there and actively supporting the show, we're actually going to release a coupon code that you can go online and actually receive a 10% discount on your cigar purchase. And so, man, that'll be great. We want to, you know, just treat y'all with at least a little something to thank you for supporting us.
That's right. We'll blast that out this week. So you'll be able to get that. And go get these sticks. They're gonna be great, great stocking stuffers, but you're going to smoke them before Christmas. Let's be honest. They're good stuff, man. Well, hey, you know, what I love is this product is definitely cared for and created by some really, really fantastic folks in the industry, some people who really, really know their craft. And when we talk about people who know their craft, man, we think about just an entire industry packed, jam-packed with talent from the cigar spectrum all the way over to the pipe spectrum. And when I'm talking the pipe spectrum, and I'm talking creative geniuses and design and that mirroring of that, you know, that country feel, but that high class veneer that goes into all of that. Man, there's no other name that can be thrown into the mix and with this kind of transitional skills than our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
You nailed it. you did, man. You crushed it. You knocked it out of the park, man. We have, of course, such a good relationship with Missouri Meerschaum, and they are a big part of the reason why we're able to continue to do this show week after week. And, man, we'd encourage you to go to their website. They have a beautiful new pipe, the Kingston Judge, that is available on their website. It is so handsome. It's got this kind of Rhodesian look with the two little lines at the top and a round shank. Elegant burgundy hand-cut stem that's on the end of this, an Italian stem that's just very, very handsome with a small nickel band as a ferrule. And so it's just a very, very pretty pipe and something that I think you'll be proud to smoke and also to show off. So go check it out. You can go to corncobpipe.com and check it out there. It retails for $30.99. And if you get it, you'll be really happy with the quality of this particular pipe. And of course, the folks at Missouri Meerschaum will quickly send it right to your front door.
That's right. And if you got a Kingston Judge coming in this Christmas, when you unbox it, be sure to take those pictures, send it up to Twitter and all the rest of the social media. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in from club member Zachary Lanskron. All right. Zach comes in. He says, "Hey guys, I have a buddy who was looking for a certain pipe, and I was just wondering if there are any custom creators that could do a commission pipe." Now, this is interesting, John David, because I know that there are a lot of, you know, amazing pipe carvers out there that kind of, you know, take inspiration from all over the place. And we've seen some amazing, actually some amazing pipes that we very recently talked about on this, on with Quinn, if I'm not mistaken, from some of these up and coming pipe carvers. But if
that's right. We had a great episode with Quinn a few weeks back about the up and coming pipe makers. Yeah.
That's right. But if you've got, if you know, like Zachary's buddy here, if you've got a pipe in mind and you want to commission it, what do you recommend? Or is there a process there? Yeah.
There is a process. The thing is, it's actually a lot, you know, more simple to do this than you might think. So if you're involved in the pipe community, when I say that, that sounds so official, you know.
Did you make a blog post? Did you take a picture and slap a hashtag on it?
Like, yeah, if involved in the pipe community, really, to some extent, just means, hey, you follow a bunch of cool pipe-related stuff on Instagram. You know?
By listening to this podcast, you are now officially part of the pipe
community. You are now a part of the pipe community. That's right. And, man, maybe not a very active member, but you know, it's a first step, right? And so the key is just finding an artisan pipe maker. That's the thing. You're not going to go to you know, as a consumer, you're not going to go to, let's say, Peterson and say, hey, can you make me one pipe that looks like, I don't know, a parakeet or something, you know?
Right.
Peterson is not going to do that for you. They're not, unless, well, I mean, you know, if you give them enough gold doubloons, they probably will. But but my guess is Peterson, Savinelli, you know, Dunhill, they're not going to come up with this one-off pipe just for you. That's just not kind of in their wheelhouse. But the artisan pipe maker, particularly in the United States, this is oftentimes what they do. They take commissions. A lot of times they do make pipes that are just kind of their own inspiration, and then they, you know, are hoping that it comes out well, and then they, you know, if they're pleased with it, will put it on the market. They'll set a price at what they think it's worth, and on and on. But, you know, a lot of what these pipe makers do, a big chunk of their business are commissions, and there's a reason for that. It's so comforting to have a list of people that are waiting for one of your pipes. You know, think if you're a full-time pipe maker, and that's how you pay your bills. That, you know, your rent is paid by, and your family is fed by, making pipes and selling them. That is what you do. Man, it's really nice to have a list of people that are waiting on you to produce something for them. Mm-hmm. And so the whole key is just to get on someone's list and talk to pipe makers that are out there. Of course, we have so many friends in the pipe making world that that we've mentioned on the show multiple times. A couple names that come to mind: Nate Rose, we talked to a couple weeks ago; Jim Deshane, who is longtime friend of the show. You know, there's pipe makers all over the country. The key is to find someone you think who's an artisan pipe maker, and you like their work, you like their style, you like what you see from them, the materials they use, maybe their technique in sandblasting or, you know, the certain stem kind of materials they do. Maybe they're really good at something in particular, like a, you know, stem work or working with olive wood or, you know, whatever it is. But find an artisan pipe maker that you like and reach out to them. And it's literally as simple as sending a message on Instagram, Googling their website and sending them an email, trying to find their Facebook page and connecting with them there. You know, it's just really not that difficult to do. And so and a lot of these guys, they, you know, just to give you a heads up, these artisan pipe makers, they, there's a really good chance they're going to have a waiting list. I mean, that's how they kind of make their, you know, make it work, is that they've got kind of a list of people to work through. And so it may take you a while to get, you know, said commissioned pipe. But if you connect with the right artisan, they'll know what you're talking about, what you're going for, and go back and forth. They might even send you some drawings and that kind of thing. You'll come to an agreement on a price for that specific piece that you're going for, and they'll give you an estimate. And then it's off to the races. So anyway, Zachary, I hope that kind of helps.
Great question, Zach. Thanks so much for that. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listen to feedback. All right, man, we got one in from Joel who says, "Hi guys, pipe smoker here and fellow reformed dude in his 30s. On a recent podcast, you mentioned pipe smoking in academia. I think this is a great topic. I'm a college librarian and long-time pipe smoker whose journey started out when I was a college student and then rediscovered thanks to another pipe smoking librarian who mentioned me." Man, pipe smoking librarian. That, I feel like that should have been one of our archetypes back in the
day. That's its own thing. Yeah. that's incredible. That's awesome.
My love affair with pipes all started out when my friends and I in college would try to time our walk to class so we could walk behind an old German professor who always smoked a pipe on his way to his classes.
That's awesome.
I never asked what he smoked, but it smelled divine. I think it was most likely a vanilla aromatic. After struggling with a drugstore pipe and Cap'n Black while in college, a gurgling hot mess, I took a break for a few years, but rediscovered it after moving to Lancaster, PA. That's unfortunate. Lancaster is a terrible, terribly named city for a terrible family that stole the throne from the Yorks. Anyway.
Dude, whatever. Lancaster, Pennsylvania is awesome.
I'm just saying the origin of their name is a tragedy, as is the family.
That's the home of like caramel, man. You can't knock Lancaster. Anyway, go ahead.
You get your chocolate mints the way that God intended. And visiting a very old tobacco shop that has since closed. A basket pipe, Lane 1Q, C&D, Epiphany, and the intrigue of my fellow librarian folding flakes into his Dragon Claw Meerschaum relaunched my pipe smoking journey. Anyways,
oh, that's cool.
Great topic idea, and I hope to hear more of it soon. Joel. Well, Joel, man, thanks so much for the feedback. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is actually a series that we've got coming up that I think would be right up your alley as a pipe smoking librarian. I think that's all I'll say about that right now.
That's interesting. Yeah, kind of leaning into that next year stuff and content of the future. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I had a couple friends in college, believe it or not, that majored in library science, and I didn't even know that was a thing. I had no idea.
Well,
but
Mississippi State, you know, you got to figure out what you're going to give a degree in, because you know you can't just all.
Well,
be
it's better than going to Ole Miss and getting a degree in gift shop.
I mean, like, I agree with you. I am not the enemy of my enemy, my friend.
I know, right?
By the way, did y'all win or did y'all lose? I never didn't pay attention to the game.
We lost the Egg Bowl, man. It was painful. It was really painful. We gave it up, man. We had so many good opportunities to win, but we didn't pull it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get the best of us this year. We'll see them next year.
Every year I have the same joke with my brother who went to Ole Miss, and you know, the Egg Bowl comes on. You remember Zoolander? You remember So they're all in the coal mine, like after their day in the coal mine, they're like watching the game, and he comes up, he's, "Who's winning the match?"
I know.
And then his dad,
<That's Bo. laughs>
he just says, "State." And so I always wait until State's winning the game, and then I come up to my brother and was like, who's winning the match?
That's great. Yeah. That is great. Yeah, we'll get them next year.
All right. All right. Best of luck to you, man. Great episode. Great to get kind of a preliminary education in cigars, which was unintentional because we really mostly wanted to talk about this particular cigar, but I think it actually...
Yeah, it's good.
I know it helps me to appreciate kind of the story behind the cigar to kind of go into those... maybe more minute details. I hope other folks enjoyed it. And man, I really hope that a lot of folks, you know, if you are a fan of cigars, if you want to kind of give one a try, as John David said, this is a cigar for cigar smokers. So if it might be an interesting entry level if you're a pipe smoker picking this one up, but I'd be curious to get the feedback.
Yeah, if this is the first cigar you've ever smoked, I probably would just say don't. But maybe make it the second or third and definitely eat a good meal before you do.
Well, there you go, man. Hey, we want to hear your feedback from enjoying the cigar and just in general about the show. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow John David at John David Cole or the shop at _CountrySquire. But all that information and more, including where you can nominate for the best of 2021, including where you can get your order in for your Country Squire radio ring. All of that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, it is the holidays are, wait, it's not even fast approaching. We're just in it, man. We're just in it.
It's not even December. I mean, as we're recording, November 29th, and it's like, you know, it's painful, man. It's like, bam, just, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, blunt force trauma, getting these tasting notes from a really strong cigar. And man, I feel like December's kind of, you know, get back in your box, December, you know.
No, I say bring it on, man.
Let's go back to your crate.
Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.